This morning we want to study what God teaches us in His Word about spiritual exercise. And we want to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And there the Lord says, "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." We look up those words for exercise. It's exactly what they mean in English. And we find two forms of the very same word for exercise used there in that passage that we just read, where in verse 7 he says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness," which is the verb, and then the noun is in the next verse when he says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." But when we see both the verb and noun forms, it's interesting from the roots in Greek, the noun is gymnasia. Well, that's where we get our word gymnasium from in English. Gymnazo is the verb form there in Greek, but so we have gymnasium in English. And what do you do in a gym? It's where you go to exercise. That's where that word comes from. And it's what it means. And so he's using it just like we use it in English, and we even have the actual Greek word carried over into English too. He's speaking about exercise, but he's also making a contrast between two kinds of exercise. There's the physical kind of exercise and the spiritual exercise. And he mentions both there in that passage in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Now, he says that bodily exercise profits little. He doesn't say it profits nothing. Well, why is that? Well, does eating profit anything? Well, it profits our physical bodies. I mean, we have to eat to live. So he's talking about certain, and he speaks of certain things that for our physical life are components of it. And so as far as our physical life and sustaining our lives and health, I mean, there's certain things that we have to do. Well, physical exercise is something that can help our physical bodies, but he says it profits little. Well, why does he say that? Now, when you go and you look at what the world has to say, would you come up with the conclusion that bodily exercise and going to the gym and working out and all that, it profits just a little? I mean, the message we get is that's really just about everything. Well, why does the Lord say that profits little? Well, he says that because if something is helping our physical bodies, how long does that last? Not long. And so that's why he says it may, so physical exercise, it may have some promise for the life that now is, but what about for that which is to come? It has no profit for the life that is to come, that is in our eternity. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, he points out something that if all of our stock is placed in our physical lives and in our physical bodies, this will be a shocking revelation and probably very depressing, but it shouldn't be to us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, this is reality. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," he says, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." If all we had was an outward man, it would be depressing because we are getting older and that physical body grows weaker. And eventually we die. And so if that's all there is to our existence, then life here is really hopeless, and it would be very, very depressing indeed to give any thought of that. But the fact is, we have more than one part of us. We have that outward man, that physical body that we're in now, that is perishing, But we have an inner man that he says is renewed day by day. It is to be growing stronger, and that's where spiritual exercise will come in that we want to look at in our study together this morning. James 4, verse 14, to really put an even finer point on how our outward man is perishing, he sums up our physical lives on this earth here in James 4, verse 14, where he says, "Whereas you know that you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" That's the question. What is your life? Well, as far as our life on this earth, what is it? He says, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." So in terms of our physical life on this earth, our existence here on planet Earth, that is the fact of the matter. He says that our outward man perishes, and now he says it very plainly, what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And we've all seen a little a vapor or some steam or a puff of smoke. And what happens? I mean, it's very fleeting. It's gone just about in an instant. And what is he comparing that to? Our life on this earth. And so bodily exercise will, whatever profit it will be for that, the extent of that vapor, very little, not much, and nothing in terms of eternity. So if we have the very best diet, if we learn all about proper nutrition and exercise and all that, and we maintain with maximum discipline over ourselves like we all have, if we follow the very best diet and have the best workout regimen and all of that throughout all of our days on this earth, that is going to yield us what in terms of what we were just reading about concerning our outward man and what our life is on this earth? What is going to be the maximum amount of profit we get out of that? Well, if we want to get more depressed, if that's where all of our hope is, it would be that. It shouldn't for us. But in Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12, well, verse 10 says, "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." Now, before we boo-hoo over that, I mean, that's just telling us the way it is. And look at the lifespan. This was, who was the inspired writer of Psalm 90? Moses. Now, Moses lived to be 120 years, and he was at lifespans in the very beginning. The Lord kept some folks around, especially the righteous ones we read about in Genesis chapter 5, lifespans that reached into the 900s with several, like Adam and Methuselah and Noah. There were several in that made it into their 10th century of life on this earth. Well, the Lord reduced lifespans, and it got into the more the lower 100s range. Moses himself lived to be 120. Well, Moses was at really the end of that, where the Lord then settled things from Moses' time, which would be about 3,500 years ago. So for the last 3.5 centuries, where we've had that much time to mankind, that is speaking, of devoting himself to learning all there is to learn about medicine and health and all of those things, what is the impact, or what has the impact been on the lifespan of man in 3,500 years? Nothing. It's just negligible. What the lifespan of man, he's 70 to 80 years. Well, we look at it now, what is it? We're still in that range. So with all that we know, and if you follow all the best stuff, you follow the diet, do all the bodily exercise, take the right supplements or medicines as they're needed, whatever. If we do all of that just right, we're still looking at a lifespan of about 70 to 80 years if we're blessed with that to maximum strength. Maybe a little more, but not much. On average, that's still where we are. So how much does it all profit for our physical bodies and our life here on this earth? it has very little effect. Now, can we do certain things to tempt the Lord into reducing that very drastically? Yes. That's another topic. It relates to this one because then we're not spiritually exercising as we should. But if we're investing our thoughts, our time, our efforts into this life on this earth, and that's what we are living for, then we are wasting all of that time and all of that effort. And that would be hopeless. So he goes on further here in Psalm 90 and says, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." And that's if we don't live and spend that 70 to 80 years or whatever the Lord gives us to do his will. Then we're going to be facing his anger. So then what do we need? We need to know what the right way to spend this little time, our little vapor here, how to spend it. He says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And now we start to see some of what that spiritual exercise that we all need to be engaging in, that is not for only this life, but is also has that promise for the life to come, which is in eternity. So is there some kind of exercise that can help us to live forever? There are a lot of diets, a lot of workout regimens that are pushed or sold under that to try to really maximize and give somebody a whole lot of time, and it doesn't really change anything, as we've seen. But the Lord tells us about a way to exercise ourselves that can enable us to live forever, not on this earth, but to live forever with him in his dwelling place. Well, it starts with what we were just reading there in Psalm 90. We need to be taught. We need to learn. Now, does that mean, does it come naturally? Does it come automatically for us to think about the brevity of our time on this earth and how we're to spend that and prepare ourselves for eternity? Does that come naturally to people? Do people like to think about that and to take action on that? People like to push that out of their minds. The devil likes us to do that, to not consider how short our life is on this earth and how we're spending it and getting ready for what really matters for our eternity and preparing for that. But that's what we need to do. We need to number our days. We need to learn to count our days, to redeem the time, and then to engage in this spiritual exercise, applying our hearts to wisdom and doing what the Lord tells us to do that will enable us to have eternal life. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11 down through chapter 6, verse 3. This passage that is 7 verses long that we want to read from now. It also uses this word for exercise, but here he's applying it to in the spiritual realm, like 1 Timothy chapter 4 also is teaching us to do, to exercise ourselves unto godliness, like applying our hearts to wisdom. Well, let's read here from Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11 down through chapter 6, verse 3. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." Well, he's teaching us how to grow spiritually from babyhood on milk to being able to have that diet of strong meat, spiritually speaking. And in this case, the spiritual food is what? It is God's word. And if we remain on milk, so if we are not exercised spiritually, if we're not exercising, we're going to remain on spiritual milk at best. Actually, we'll see that it will even be worse than that. But we're not going to be growing in the right way, which the goal is there. He says those who are of full age, that actually is the Greek word teleos that means complete. And he uses the same form of the very same word in the very next verse when he says, let us go on unto perfection. Well, those are the ones that are on that strong meat. That's the goal, to be spiritually complete. Well, how do we get there? How do we fulfill the purpose of God in this life using that little vapor that we have here in the right way, spiritually exercising ourselves to prepare for the life to come, to fulfill His purpose, to be complete in His love as He is? We need to have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. Well, then what kind of skill, in what way are we exercising our senses here, using what? Well, with the proper spiritual food, going from that milk to the strong meat of God's Word. To go from being unskillful in the Word of Righteousness to having skill in the Word of Righteousness. So it starts with our applying our hearts to wisdom. And where are we going to find that revealed? In God's Word. We have to go to God's Word. How much of our time do we need to be spending in the Word of God to learn what His will is, to gain that knowledge of His will and that wisdom and spiritual understanding so that we can accomplish and do His will in our lives and then grow spiritually to the point of being complete? Well, that's the spiritual exercise we need to do, and it needs to be occupy our time continuously in our lives. In chapter 12 of this same book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12, 7 to 15, he says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Well, if we're going to grow in righteousness, what do we need to do? We need to be exercised in it. He says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So he warns us against things that would be contrary to our exercising ourselves in righteousness, so that we can produce that peaceable fruit of righteousness. But we can see a number of passages in God's Word where he mentions, uses this word exercise, applying it to what we need to be doing spiritually. In the book of 2 Peter, in chapter 2, we're going to see that again, but from a different standpoint, but is one that is also very instructive if we will listen to it. 2 Peter chapter 2, 9 to 14. He says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Well, the Lord knows how to do both. And all men are going to fall into one of those two categories. We're either going to be delivered, we're either going to be godly, one of the ones that the Lord delivers out of temptation, or we're going to be unrighteous, and therefore be reserved unto the day of judgment to be punished. Well, we know which group we want to be in, don't we, from what he's describing there. We want to be godly. Well, we started this study this morning here about studying about exercising ourselves rather unto godliness. So we need that spiritual exercise, and we keep seeing this, exercising ourselves in righteousness so that we can grow in righteousness, in godliness, so that we can be more godly. But when he's speaking about the godly in contrast to the unrighteous, he goes further in verse 10 on down, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. It's interesting. This is one of the few times, if we're looking at the scriptures, where he uses the word or phrase about stop sinning. Well, this is one time he does that. And who is it that cannot stop sinning? That cannot cease from sin? These are the ones that are reserved unto the day of judgment to be punished, the unrighteous. So we don't want to fall into a group of those that are arguing, well, we can't stop sinning. I don't know of anybody who is going to be arguing that has actually stopped sinning or has even a will to do that. So we may be trying to explain ourselves, but the Lord says we can, and he knows how to deliver us out of temptation, so we can. But these ones who don't, he says, they don't stop. He says, beguiling unstable souls, and he says, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So we are, what is it when we speak of spiritual exercise, what are we actually exercising? Our hearts, our spiritual hearts, not our physical hearts. In physical exercise, of course, we're exercising our physical muscles and bones and our physical hearts. Well, with spiritual exercise, we are exercising our spiritual hearts. Now, the interesting point that we should be able to pick up from this or understand from this, we're all doing it. We are all engaged in some kind of spiritual exercise. Now, is it the right kind? We're exercising our hearts in something. Now, if we are not exercising ourselves unto godliness, then how are we exercising our hearts? Well, these ones he's describing here are exercising their hearts with covetous practices, in covetousness. So how many people are engaged in spiritual exercise of their spiritual hearts, but in evil things, where they're growing more and more in evil? And that's why we're not going to actually just stay the same. So if we are not exercising our senses to discern good and evil, if we're on the milk of the word, eventually we're gonna lose that. We're gonna be going the other way, and we'll be exercising ourselves in things that will carry us away from the Lord entirely. So we need to be aware of that and look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and see, well, how are we exercising our hearts, and what are we exercising ourselves? What do we need to change, and how can we be doing so in the right way? Well, the Lord tells us to serve one another, to exercise ourselves in the parts of God's love. Well, we already saw that in Hebrews, the end of chapter 5 and beginning of chapter 6. To be complete, we have to have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil, which is why he says, let us go on to perfection. Let's do that. Let's have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil and then do the good. 1 John 4, verse 12. He says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So we've seen the what, now we are the where, and here's the what. We are exercising our hearts. That's where we need to have God's love perfected. If we love one another, he says, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's taking action. We have to engage in the action of showing love one to another. He's not speaking about an emotion, and he's not speaking about just saying some words. This is what we actually have to do. Mark 10, 42 through 45. Mark 10, 42 through 45. But Jesus called them unto him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This is taking action. So this is exercising ourselves spiritually and putting into practice the parts of God's love. So if we're going to grow in kindness, We need to practice kindness on one another, and gentleness, meekness, forbearance, all of those things that are parts of the love of God. We have to put those in practice and exercise ourselves in that in order to grow in those things. One of the great principles of exercise is that exercise gives increase. We understand that principle with physical exercise. The same principle is true spiritually speaking. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." If we're going to increase in our learning of God's word, then we would have to be wise. And then he says, we will hear. We have to practice listening to God's word to then increase in our learning of his will. So we have to do something to produce the fruits of that exercise in hearing his word to learn more. Proverbs 9, verse 9, he says, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning." So where do we read in Scripture about growing in anything that is good, where we're not actually having to do something, take some action, which is a form of this spiritual exercise, in those very things to grow more in it? We have to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians 4, 16. "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." This is when all of us are doing that together. If the body of Christ, his church, is going to grow in love, then what is required? Well, all the members of that body have to be working together to make increase of itself in that. So we all have to be exercising together in those parts of God's love, practicing those things on one another, exercising ourselves in them towards one another, to all of us, so all of us can grow in those things. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Well, if we're going to abound more and more and be filled with these fruits of righteousness, what do we have to exercise ourselves in? In righteousness, and all of those things that we need to grow in. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." We have to walk in those things. We have to do those things so that we can abound therein. And then verse 19, Colossians 2, 19, he says, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God." That's what will happen with spiritual exercise in what is right, that we will increase with the increase of God. 1 Thessalonians 2, 12 and 13. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints." And then the next chapter, 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Almost the same words as we're seeing there. He's teaching us to do, exercise ourselves in these things spiritually so that we can abound and grow in all of these things. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." We have to do it. That's the exercise. We have to practice that and actually walk in those things, and then we will grow more in those things that we're walking in. So if we want to grow in godliness, we have to exercise ourselves unto godliness and with all those other good things. Verses 9 and 10, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So we might be exercising some or even a lot. Well, what's his point there that he concludes with in that passage? He acknowledged that they were doing those things, growing in those things. They were exercising themselves in those good things. And he said, do it even more so that they can grow more. So that ultimately we will reach that goal of having his love perfected in us. That will only come if we love one another and practice these, exercise ourselves in these things towards one another. So we have the opportunity to learn to exercise ourselves spiritually in all these good things in the parts of God's love so that we can have growth in all of those things in our spiritual hearts. We want to continue to do that and abound in it more and more every day. And this is an opportunity for you now this morning, if you've not yet become a child of God, to do so and to obey his gospel, to repent and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins. Or if you are a member of the Lord's body, if you've not been exercising yourselves in godliness and righteousness and all that you should, if you've not been following the Lord and need to come back to him, this is an opportunity for you to make things right with him this morning. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you please come now while we stand together and sing.